I've been spending some time this week thinking about what a wonderful thing it is to be a Christian. And I want to explore that a little bit with you for just a few moments this morning. Recently, I heard a story from one of my clergy partners in the integrated circuit here in Silicon Valley, and he was telling the story about a woman named Donna. And he said that for a long while in her early adult life, she was a very troubled young woman who managed to find herself in places where she shouldn't have been, doing things that she shouldn't have been doing, and just spiraling downward in a cycle of alcohol and drugs and illegal behavior. It was while she was trying to recover from those misadventures that she first encountered this pastor. And he was telling that over a period of time, she became more and more interested in Jesus and eventually decided that she wanted to try and follow Jesus. And eventually, after trying and praying about it, she made a commitment to be a Christian. And her behavior began to change. First of all, she started just volunteering a little bit in the church office. And then she volunteered to teach in Sunday school. And while I think of it, this is a good time to place an advertisement out there. If you've been thinking about teaching in Sunday school, even if you haven't, I know Holly Aspiris would like to talk to you. We need some extra teachers for the fall. But then she began volunteering at some of the social service projects that the church was involved in. And then she eventually became involved in an overseas mission project and had a wonderful experience going to Central America, actually, and serving the Lord in that particular way. And he said, at that point, he says, I took the opportunity to ask her, look how busy you are in the life of the church and in the life of the Christian community. And he says, are you enjoying that? Is it important to you? Why are you doing this? So much of it. And she said, well, Reverend, when you become a Christian, and I love this line, she said, there are some things you just can't help doing. When you become a Christian, there's just some things you can't help doing. This was partially the story of that Ginny just read for us today, where John and a couple of his disciples, which one of them was Andrew, saw Jesus go by, and in the course of one afternoon, Andrew decides to become a disciple of, not of John, but of Jesus. And the first thing he does, he shares it. He goes out and recruits Simon and says, you got to come and see this guy. You're not going to believe what you hear and see and experience. And he brings Simon in. But if you read other parts of the New Testament, you know that this is what Andrew always did. There are six times in the New Testament where Andrew is described as the one who goes out and recruits people to follow Jesus. Andrew was real clear that there are some things you just can't help doing once you begin to follow the Christ. So anyway, I was thinking about Andrew and his experience, and I was thinking about Donna and her comment, and I was wondering for myself, what are some things that you can't help doing once you become a Christian? Let me offer just three of them that I was thinking about for you this morning. I think one of the things that you can't help doing once you become a Christian is that you begin to see things with different eyes. One of the reasons that we read the J.B. Phillips translation this morning is because I have a story about J.B. Phillips to tell you. Phillips and Tolkien and C.S. Lewis and a number of other writers formed a club at Oxford where they met every week to discuss theology, spirituality, the role of Christianity in their lives and in their writing. And one time, and always, in, you know, they were the main participants, but there was always a group of people that gathered around them to listen in. And one week they were discussing what they thought were the modern great wonders of the world, the present day wonders. And they finally, as the story goes, they finally agreed that there were seven contemporary wonders: the pyramids of Egypt, the Taj Mahal in India, the Grand Canyon in Arizona, the Panama Canal, the world's tallest building, St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, and the Great Wall of China. You can see where their heads were. But as Phillips tells the story, there was a little break in the conversation, and one of them looked at one of the young men who was hanging on around the edge of the group, and he was asked, "Well, you haven't said anything. What do you think are the great wonders of the world?" And the young man stammered a bit, and he said, "Well, I wasn't quite thinking the way you were." "Well, what were you thinking?" they said. "Well, I was thinking that the ability to see and to hear and to touch and to feel and to taste and to laugh and to love, these gifts of God are the seven great wonders of the world." The young man was seeing with new eyes and was sensing that our world is full of God's presence and full of God's gifts. That's what being a Christian does for you. Gives you the opportunity to see with new eyes and to change your life. Which leads to the second thing, the thing you can't help once you're a Christian, and that is that not only do you see with new eyes, but then you live with a new perspective on living. Another story I heard this summer had to do with a father and daughter saying goodbye at the airport. And one of the things that the father said to his daughter as she was leaving was, he said, "I wish you enough." And a stranger who overheard this stopped him after he had said goodbye and said, "I'm not quite certain what you meant by that to your daughter. Okay, if I asked you and about that?" And the father said, "Well," he said, "it just has to do with our family perspective, and it has to do with a poem that we have loved and we have shared with all of our children." He said, "Well, actually, not a poem, but a prayer." And he said, "It was this: I wish you enough. I wish you enough sun to keep your attitude bright. I wish you enough rain to appreciate the sun. I wish you enough happiness to keep your spirit alive. I wish you enough adversity so that the small joys appear bigger. I wish you enough gain to satisfy your wanting. I wish you enough loss to be grateful for all that you possess. And I wish you enough hellos to get you through all the goodbyes of your life. New eyes to see and a new perspective. God gives enough strength to keep us going, enough forgiveness to make us a new creation, enough courage to stand tall when times are tough, and enough assurance to remember that in the end, God wins. The third can't help that I was thinking about, and you can see where this is going. If you see with new eyes, if you have a new perspective on life, then you're going to act differently in your life. And that's what Christians do. We act in love. We share Christ with others. One of the great things that happened this week was I came into the office on Tuesday morning, and Barbara said to me, "Do you know how many?" "How many what?" I said. She said, "Cambodian language hymnals we're sending to the Chans in Cambodia." She said, "We're sending 306 hymnals." Sharing Christ with others. We can't help it. We have to do it. Or what about intentional acts of kindness? Now, I didn't say random acts or accidental acts, but intentional acts of kindness. Doing good things even though we know that we won't get anything back from doing it. One of the finest examples this summer had been, I suspect most of us had seen Chris, a homeless woman who some of us knew from a previous relationship with her. She was hanging around here on the campus. We've finally been able to move her on into a different care situation, and that's really good news. But between when she first showed up and when she finally moved to a care facility, there were those of you who intentionally chose to bring food for her to eat and clothes for her to wear. Individual acts of kindness that kept her together until she could move into a safer place. Or what about intentional acts of church kindness, our willingness to assist people? A couple of weeks ago, I made a general invitation for anybody who wanted to go with me to a Stop Hunger Now event up at Los Gatos United Methodist Church. And 9 of us eventually went. And when we were finished there, the 9 of us agreed, we're going to do that this year at Campbell Church. And so we're thinking through the calendar, we're thinking through the time. We're going to come together some evening, someday, some Saturday, here this year, and we're going to package 2,500 meals to be sent to a location, and we're trying to arrange for it to be in Sierra Leone, where Stop Hunger Now is active. And we're going to pay for it, package it, and prepare it to be sent to children who are hungry. And then there's the behavior of standing up for what's right. We had an experience here last Sunday. I had an experience last Sunday when I was standing outside as we were getting ready to go into Evelyn's celebration. And one of the homeless persons who hangs out in the neighborhood came running across the patio to me. And he said to me, "I see you have this multicolored fish up on your sign? I said, yes, we do. He says, does that mean that that you want gay and lesbian persons to come to your church? I said, well, we're welcoming of gays and lesbians, yes. And he said, does that mean that you're bringing them in here so you can change them from being evil? And I said, no, that's not quite what it means. And I told him about our reconciling attitude. And he was horrified. And I thought, I'm being lectured, you know, here. And yet, I said to him, I said, no. He says, we have a sense of God's love that is so expansive and so great that even while we don't all agree, you know, exactly on all the issues, including this one, he said, we have open doors here. And we're going to do the loving, and we're going to let God do the sorting. He was horrified, and he walked out. And I had a sense that, you know, I could have easily just gone along with him. But even for him, I wanted to stand up for what we believe. Seeing with new eyes, gaining a new perspective, and acting in love. Those are three things that Christians can't help doing once they've decided to follow Christ. But those are just three things that make it wonderful to be a Christian. I wonder what others you can think of. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, we're grateful for your love. We're thrilled by being your followers. We're excited about being active in love in your name. Well, just as every Sunday, we ask your guidance and your power to fill our lives that we can share with others how wonderful it is to be yours. Amen.